Have you been hitting the books and listening to lectures all day? It's time to relax, to unwind, and listen up. This is Brooke from Campus Chronicles, your go-to podcast for everything student life. No matter where you are in your academic journey, we have you covered. Think of us as a trusted mentor, friend, and confidant who always has your back. We'll be sharing inspiring stories, thought-provoking insights, and practical advice to help you succeed in and out of the classroom. So get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and entertained. Hello, hello, everyone. I'm so excited to introduce you to this wonderful woman we have here. Her name is Krista Ford, and she is a professional athlete who is going to grace us with some of her experiences, wisdom, and contributions. Krista, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Miss Brooke.
We were having a wonderful time off camera. So Krista, I just mentioned to Krista who our audience is for this podcast, and she said, well, that's been a little bit, but it was certainly a fun time in my life. Introduce us to, before we get started, who you are. Give us the little background on you.
So my name is Krista Ford. I'm a professional athlete in the wonderful and beautiful sport of powerlifting. So in powerlifting, the strongest man and the strongest woman win at the end of the day. I'm also a pioneer in another sport called bobsled. I was the first Black female to ever bobsled in the whole world and in the sport. So between the two sports, that's what I've been doing for a very long time. I've retired from bobsledding. I've been powerlifting for over 40 years now, and I still compete, and I'm on my way to nationals this weekend to compete my 35th year out there. So that's what I do. My passion and my love is lifting weights in a sport that accommodates to all of that.
That's incredible. I think for so many people, they do athletics their whole life, regardless of what sport they're in, and they grow up doing that. And when you go to university, whether you pursue that at a higher level or whether you just do it recreationally, it's so hard to manage it all and balance it all. How have you grown in terms of balancing, and where did your athletic journey begin?
Okay, so it began when I was a little thing. And y'all can't see me, but my little, little inch here. So my athletics was something that was innately in me since I've been a child. When I was 5 and 4, I was always running around, and I absolutely loved any kind of activity had to do with outside, playing, jumping, hopping, skipping. It didn't matter. And then as I started going through school, I started becoming on recreational teams, a kickball team, dodgeball, all that stuff. And then as I got a little bit older, I got on the track team. I started really honing in on all of this wonderful talents that I already had. So athletics is always anything physical, anything had to do with physical fitness or any kind of game. I was in there. I loved it from day one.
Did you pursue athletics in university?
No, I never went to college.
That's incredible.
I went to an art school, a university like that, but never went to college for that. So kind of glad I didn't. I'm going to tell you why. Not because it's not for everybody, but I believe that my journey, where it went to and how many years it's been since high school going out into the world, I was kind of forced to go out into the world at a very early age, and I had to survive. So it's not anything I got to do against college. I wanted to, but at that time, it was not feasible for me to do it at that time.
And when you think of yourself at 17 and you were still pursuing your athletics, what was that like when you were in the young adult years? How did you balance all those responsibilities of taking care of yourself, looking after yourself, feeding yourself, and still pursuing that athletic career?
You know what? It was easy for me because it was something that was in me and I didn't even think about it. I just did it. And what you do is, for me, I sat down and I figured out a plan. I was like, okay, I need to do this, and I need to go over here and train and do this. And I just put it together at a nice little pace for myself. But honestly, I was kind of like in auto mode. My brain was just going straight. I didn't I didn't think too much about it. I just went on and did it. So I acted a lot on my intuition about it. You know, I just kind of went, and it wasn't hard for me to do it that way. But for some who maybe it is hard for, you just got to sit down and make yourself out a structured plan on how you're going to do this, because you can do it. You can balance it all out. You can go to school. You can have a job. You can do your homework. You could be in athletics. You can be in a sport. You can do it all. Anybody can do it. You just got to sit down and go 1, 2, 3, figure out your plan, stay with it, and stay consistent with that plan. Don't deviate it. So once you get a nice little order together, keep all your ducks in a row. Don't let any distractions come in here, pull you this way, pull you that way. Stay on that path. And then you'll find that later on, you'd be really happy that you did it. Reaping all of those benefits of staying on a plan and being structured, wow, that's something you can carry on after you get out of college, after you're doing all this. Oh my God, in life, if you can get your nice little plan together, you can take that on in life. And it will always work for you. You will obtain your goals. You will get where you need to go because you got a plan.
Well, Krista, you're rolling me right into athlete mentality, which is part of the reason I wanted to bring you on today, is you've always had this innate athlete mentality. How would you describe athlete mentality?
Wow.
It's a hard question, isn't it?
It really is, because we don't think like most people do. We really don't. I will say this. An athlete's mentality is execute, put the plan together, execute, and get it done. That's it. And we're very focused and we're very intentional in our thoughts. So I would say that most athletes are very goal-driven. And we just have blinders on and we go forward. We keep moving. And in that training, when you're having coaches and people training you and you have your teammates and you have all these people that are relying on you, including yourself, to perform. Oh, it's just like we lock in, we hit that button, start, we're gone. And we always start something. We always finish it. Always. I don't know any of my athletic friends that are professional sports like me as well, or even underneath me. We always, whatever we start to finish. And an athlete's mentality too, to me, is always optimistic. I don't care how many hurdles you fall over. I don't care how many races you lose. The failure for an athlete is just the fire that gives us to want to perform better the next time and the next time and the next time. Whereas some people, a failure can just throw them right underneath the bus. They're done. They don't want to do it no more. They quit. Most athletes that I know, go on and tell them they can't do it and watch and see what happens, because that just fuels fire and gets you moving faster and gets you all stoked up and fired up and you're ready to go.
I love that. And you shared so many golden nuggets there. One thing I think is a common misconception is that the athletic mentality is only good for athletics, but that's not the case. How do you use the athletic mentality in life?
It's always used in life, believe it or not. Because if you think about it, what are we doing here on earth? All of us are trying to obtain some sort of goal in our life, to be happy, healthy, wealthy, do what we do, keep moving, and do as much as we possibly can do to succeed. So when you're an athlete, you build character. You build all this discipline in you. So think about it. When you go out here in life, you got to have these same characteristics about yourself. You got to be driven. You got to want something. You got to have a plan. You got to execute it. So I believe that athleticism of any sort, whether you're a professional or not, man, you could take that in life and I guarantee you can use it, because you'll be able to use it out here dealing with people every day. You got to deal with your teammates, being able to talk, being able to take corrective criticism from, that's a big life thing. You have to be able to know how to do that and be able to do it in order to proceed forward and keep moving. You have to be able to learn. Always know that there's always something else you can learn. So I think in athletics and just being in sports, it builds so much of your character and gives you good morals and understanding about life and dealing with people and what you're going to have to do later on. Because like I said, in most sports, it's a team thing. You got to deal with coaches. You got to deal with people telling you what you're not doing right. And they're telling you what you're doing right. But you got to be able to take all that information in and tweak it and turn it to best fits you. And then you move. You just keep moving. You keep moving. I think athletes make the best entrepreneurs and everybody else you could think of, to tell you the truth, because of the mentality of how we think.
I love that you brought up constructive criticism, because it's important for anything, even in terms of schoolwork, a job. How has your, you know, relationship with constructive criticism evolved? Because I'm sure it was harder in the beginning than it is today. And what advice would you give about accepting that criticism or redirection gracefully?
Now, actually, for me, I always took it very well. I was always very much a teachable student. Okay. And some of the things, I wasn't good at every sport I started out. I learned to get better, right? I was, a lot of times, if I didn't feel like, man, I don't want to hear that today or whatever, and I don't want to take that criticism, and I'm doing the best I can, I would just kind of keep it in me. And then I would think about it later. They really do know what they're talking about, my coaches and stuff. But I didn't never have too much of a problem with taking corrective criticism, not in my sports and not as I was coming up in sports. But I was in ROTC too. So you got military there. And I loved it. And I think another thing, if you are a person who can take corrective criticism, I think from myself, my experience was that I loved learning, and I knew I had to take direction from somebody else of something I didn't know nothing about. So I kind of had to humble myself. I had to pull my ego down and say, I got to listen. And even though I might not want to hear it, but I got to listen to them. So it just depends on the person themselves, but corrective criticism, it's an acquired taste. It's not for everybody. And some people, you got to, like you said, you got to develop into it until you can get a nice balance where it's okay for you to be able to take that now. Everybody don't start out like that. They really don't.
It's learning how to set your ego aside. And I remember I was always really a very gifted writer. And when I would write my essays, I had always just assumed that everyone would love them and think they were the most wonderful and glorious essay, because I had always been told that. And the first time that I was told that my essay really wasn't incredible in someone else's perception, I struggled with that immensely. And that was really that ego coming out to play that we all have. Talk about the ego. Talk about how you set it aside in life and sport and everything.
Wow. You know what? That's another thing with me. I don't know that I ever really had an ego. I think I've always been very humbled. And a lot of that, I think it has to do with the company I have been able to keep over the years.
That's an important point for all of our university students as well. The company you keep will become who you are.
Exactly. So for me, I had a lot of older people around me. So I couldn't have put my ego in there and won the race, because they would have beat me to the punch every time. So I think a lot of times, like you said, students, when you're in college and stuff, your ego depends on who you keep your company with. Who's your circle? Who's your tribe? Who do you hang around? What type of people are you hanging around? And what type of mindset are they doing for you? Like I'm saying, so if they're out there throwing out good positive energy and constantly going this way, there is no room for ego when you're around people like that, right? But if you're around people who have ego problems, they're very negative and their energy's all off, and you're hanging around these people, trust me, you'll start acting just like them, and you'll get a big ego like that too. And most people who have a big ego, you can't tell them nothing. They know everything. There ain't nothing they don't know. They even know how to get to the moon and back. And they might even say they was an astronaut at one time. You cannot tell them nothing. But in athletics, how it has always kept me humble is that I was not the best in everything I started. So I had to humble myself. I couldn't walk in there with no big ego thinking, oh, I'm going to smash this. No, that wouldn't even gonna happen because I turn around and get my face smashed because I was not as good as the other one was. So I think in a lot of ways that happens too. And just in general, in school too, same thing. So in saying all of that, I've been humbled my whole life from day one. And I think this was my gift from God too, really, that he's always kept me humble, even in the position I'm in now. I'm still very humble, and I've already obtained everything that I wanted to do in my sport up to this point. I just still love it and still do it, you know, but yeah.
I love your concept about putting blinders on and staying very front focused, because it's easy when you have a deterrent, whether it's a bad grade, whether it's a bad week, a bad day, a breakup, it's easy to get deterred. How do you stay that front focused, and have you ever been deterred?
Oh my God. I've had 1,000 quadrillion distractions in my life, like you said, from relationships to not having the right crew around you. And you're trying to help all the time. And yet still, once you're helping them, they're not helping you back. And then you start losing yourself in things. For me, I have just always had a gift of focus. So when I'm locked in and it's going to be done and it's something I want to do, I'm guaranteed to get it done. And so for me, it's been it's a gift that I have never squandered. And I think that's the reason why I haven't really had too many issues with staying focused. Because I've never squandered that gift. I always used it. I always made sure that as I was going along and obtaining these goals in my sports and going up and doing what I'm doing, I always was able to stay very focused on what I'm doing.
What advice would you give someone who maybe struggles a little more to stay focused? What advice would you give them to stay focused?
You got to find something that keeps your attention. If you can find, I don't care if it's like you just like to go down the street and get you a nice Subway sandwich. And if that decompresses you for that second, and you can focus on that, you got to do that. You got to find something simple, maybe a little thing that will start teaching you how to focus in on something that you want to do and keep locked in on it, because it is very easy to get distracted. So I would take that.
And it's very easy to live life on autopilot, like you already mentioned, and not really streamline your focus.
And also, I think it's encouraging that if you have people around you that say, you know what, you're good at that, or even say a studious person who's in college that is really good in a particular field that they're in, like having people to encourage that person to, hey, you're good. That'll get you focused real fast because you're getting encouraging words from other people that are pulling off of them into you. And then you'll start really literally start going, oh, I am kind of good at this. That'll get you focused right away because you're like, oh, okay, this is a good positive thing. Let me stay locked in on this and let's see where this goes. Because all of us get off the path. I even do. But I don't stay off very long because I know there's something I got to get done.
When you notice you're off the path, what strategy do you use to get back on? What's something that you do?
I pray a lot.
Do you, and maybe you exercise? I know for me, when I'm off the path, I go on a nice, long, relaxing walk.
Exactly. I do the same thing as you. I'll go out in nature. I'll regather myself. And when you're out in nature, like you said, what is there really other than to do than to enjoy what's out here? It doesn't have any kind of distraction to it. Besides, a good distraction is when you really can get into it. So for me, I do pray a lot, do meditation. I get into self. I do, of course, I do my training. So my refuge is my fastest place I will go if I ever get off path for a second is straight to the gym. And then in that, I feel like you might go in there with a certain mindset, but you're not going to come out the same. You might go in there with a lot on your mind and distractions and things, but when you finish training and you come out, you always just did something for yourself that is a positive thing. And your takeaway with that is that I came out with something really good. I went in with something very all my mind and stuff, but I didn't come out that way. So I always call my gym my refuge. That's the refuge place that I always go. And like yourself, doing anything outside in nature, like you said, walking, running, skipping, hopping, jumping, whatever you want to do. But outside is the best place because you're away from. And then also you see other people that are doing the same thing you're doing. There you go. You get your focus right back on what they're doing because that's what you're doing. And then here you go. So you got all these like-minded people together. And I think that helps a lot.
It does. And you've brought up communities so much. And when you go to university, you are taken from the community that you've always been familiar with and dropped into a new one. Finding your people is so hard. What advice would you give on that?
You know what? A lot of times when you're trying to find your tribe or cultivate a tribe around you of like-mindedness, a lot of times I think you just got to sit back and observe a lot. And you got to listen to what people are saying in that room that you're going into that is very unfamiliar for you. Just sit back and be quiet and watch. You'll learn a lot about who you need to start hooking up with and vibing with in a very small conversation with people in a room together. You know, and I think that's why you just got to sit back and watch. Be quiet. They say the wisest people are the ones that are very still and quiet. They're watching, they're observing, they're listening. And I think that that's the easiest way to pick out your tribe, really is. And you'll know the minute somebody starts coming at you with something that does not resonate with you, you'll know. Either you can go with them and hang out and be all sucked into that, or you can walk away, go the other way. And you'll be surprised at those other people that might walk right behind you that want to be with you. Because you got that kind of vibe going on with yourself.
If you had to give three pieces of advice to young adults in this tough transition phase of their life when they're going to university, it can be about mindset, it can be about physical health, it can be about anything. What are those three pieces of advice you'd give?
I think the first piece of advice I would tell you is this. Make sure you're in college because you want to be in college. That's what you want to do, not because your parents do, not because everybody else is telling you you should go to college. I think, first of all, you have to make sure that that resonates with you if that's what you want to do. The second piece of advice I would say is this. Hone in on your craft. Figure out, you might go through 1,000 things once you get in college, and you might come out with totally something opposite of what you came in there for. But you got to hone in on what is in you that resonates with you, whatever subject that may be, whatever you want to be once you get out of college. You got to hone in on that craft, really. So if you're really good at something and it really makes you happy, that's the second piece of advice I would say. Once you get in there, figure out and hone in on you and say, you know, I like that. I really enjoy doing this, or I enjoy taking that class or this class. And I enjoy the vibe in here, and I enjoy the professor who's teaching me. You know what I mean? So I would say hone in on your craft would be the second thing. So don't go to school because of anybody else besides you want to do it, for one. Two, hone in on your craft. And I would say three, wow, get intentional. Get very intentional, get serious about it, because after you get out, you'll see all of these things that you were in there for in the first place. You're going to be able to use those skills outside of here, outside of that building. So, and have fun. Good Lord. Just those three pieces of advice. Go have fun. Don't make it such a big deal. Don't let nobody else make it such a big deal for you. You go have fun and you enjoy being young and being able to have those opportunities. You got an opportunity. Go have fun with it. Don't sit around and be stressed out about, oh my God, I can't. No. Then you need to stop, settle yourself, relax, still, revamp, come back up. You know, but go have fun with it. Don't make it such a, oh my God, I got to, or I'm going to die tomorrow kind of attitude. No, go have fun and enjoy
And it is. It's so easy to get wrapped up in that. And I heard, like we were discussing earlier, that athlete mentality came out in your three pieces of advice.
It did. That's true.
And I loved that. Is there a particular phrase or quote or word that you live your life by?
What you think about, you bring about.
That's really good.
What you think about, and that's the law of attraction. If you really think about what you want in life and you go with it and you put the vibe out there and you tell somebody, I want this to happen, I guarantee you, it'll come back to you that way.
Mm-hmm.
Think about, you bring about back to yourself. I tell everybody that. I tell myself that every day.
And that probably helps you keep that mentality of keeping focused, of setting aside the ego, of always leaning into your intentionality and your desire.
Exactly. Because if you think about it, if you're thinking about bad things like anxiety, depression, all that stuff you're thinking about, you're feeling it. Guess what? All that's going to come right back around full circle to you. So why don't you put out here in the universe and your prayers or whatever, which way your belief is, put it out here. You know, I really want to do good in this class. Watch what happens. You're going to do good in that class. Well, I really want to get an A on this paper today because I've been really working hard to get there. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to get an A. So it is just the law of that attraction is whatever you put out here, you're attracting right back to yourself.
Krista, I know you've been having to use your athlete mentality, your intentionality in a brand new way to bring about your book. Give us an insight into what are the lessons that people will learn from your book, and then where can someone pre-order it?
So my book is a self-help spiritual memoir, and it is a story of my life so far up to this point. And it's called Krista's Promise. It should be dropping early fall, right? It's my first book. I don't know nothing about the literary world. All I know is that I am the vessel to tell the story about my life. I believe if this is going to resonate and empower so many people on just everything that you go through in life, there's a purpose. And that's my whole thing. My whole book is telling everybody in the whole world, every human being walking on this earth, we all have purpose. And we're all innately connected together as well as connected above. And that's the whole book. So it can be, we're doing pre-orders now. You can find me on all of my social media. It's under Power by Krista, K-R-I-S-T-A. My website has the book on there too, where you can go ahead and pre-order it there. It's powerbykrista.com. That's the easiest way to see where the book is at, and you can pre-order it because we're doing all pre-orders right now for it. This book, Brooke, when it hits the world, and everybody who's listening right now, get the book. It will change your life. And I'm not saying that because it's my life story. I'm saying it because I have an important message to tell everyone. You have purpose, period. I don't care who you are. And you can obtain any goal in life that you absolutely want to do. All you've got to do is get intentional and get serious. And guess what? It'll all come back to you and you'll be living this best life you ever lived in your life, period.
Your book sounds amazing. And I'm so excited for all the people that are going to be touched by it. If you have any parting words, is there anything you want to say before we close off here?
I would like to tell everybody who's listening, keep going. Do not ever, ever, ever give up. Ever. And don't ever give up on yourself. You keep going. Don't ever give up. And know one thing is very important. You, everybody, yourself, you are worth it. Give it everything you got. Don't ever give up on yourself ever in life. I don't care how many times you stumble and fall. We all have done it. Get yourself back up. Keep moving. I don't care what you do in life. Just don't ever give up on you. Don't ever give up on you. You're very important and you're a key.
I couldn't imagine a better way to close out an episode. That was incredible, Krista.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you so much for spending your time here and sharing some of your insights and wisdom with it. We so appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.